Anyways, this song is called Obstination, and this is from one of my favorite, like, vintage albums. It's called An Anthology of Song, Volume 5. It says, French song in rare recordings. Ooh. I like to call things rare. Even if they're not, I, like, said today that my, like, website HTML design for my Tumblr was rare. I think it is. I mean, like, I got the code for it from this random person online, like, in 2013, so it's kind of rare. Anyways, tonight is just a nighttime playlist, if you will. Just a little playlist to listen to rest your eyes as you go to sleep. But yeah, I'm gonna get the next song. This is, I didn't choose it. I just have to, like, search it up because I feel like this always happens when I come into the studio live. It's like, the aux cord just never works for me. I don't know why. But, let's try it. I could just play the music in the background here. So that's what I do anyways. Yeah, I've got the new Doja Cat song queued up, y'all. Of course. But let's try the aux chord again. Let's see. What have I got on the list? Well, I was planning on playing a little opening here and be like, hello, can you hear me? But I already did that, so I just said. And then I also have Cold and Clear by Liam Bailey. Best saxophone intro that exists for a song. So, had to include that. Okay, moment of truth. No. Someone please explain to me why the aux doesn't work. Anyways, that's what Spotify is for. I actually use Apple Music. So, I don't know. I just feel like it's better because of the color scheme. Like, honestly, I don't really like the green on the Spotify. And, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like Apple Music is, like, more sleek. Alright, y'all. And if you haven't already listened to Roland Alfonso's album, King Sax, it's probably, like, the perfect album to listen to, or to mix with this song, so... Let's see. Self-reflection, every game. Oh, oh. I like to love myself to my mouth. For sequels, really tough to bear. Really tough to bear. I try to get to know my own truth. My intention. I guess I can explain a little bit to anticipate the David Lee Behart content that I keep, like, teasing and then never actually releasing. But a couple months ago, venue, 648 Kingsway here in East Van, posted on their story. They're like, would anyone be interested in coming to see David Liebehart? And I don't know, it just felt like I'd heard of him before, and I was like, interesting. So I Googled David Liebehart, and then I was like, oh, I do recognize him, I guess, from like Adult Swim and like aliens and conspiracy funny stuff. And honestly, like when Tumblr remade the Shrek movie, he was in that and like sang the Hallelujah song. It's actually so funny. But yeah, I don't know if anyone remembers, like, I can't even remember what happened, but I think Tumblr just basically collectively decided that they were gonna remake the entire first Shrek movie. Anyways, he's in that. So I was like, sick, like, yeah, I'll come to this show. And then finally the time rolled around just the other week, and I was like, hey, yo, can I interview David, the man himself? Like, let me get an interview. I feel like it'd be really funny. And also, too, I love, like, kind of like absurd comedy, which is the vibe that you get if you look on, like, if you, like, look up David Liebehart. It's kind of like you get, like, absurdist comedy vibes, because it's like, this guy's like singing about aliens and shit. So I thought it was going to be like really funny time. I was ready to chuckle and yeah, laugh at some jokes. And then yeah, he came, and honestly, I would say after like meeting him, and I met him before the show, I just think David's like just generally like an artist and like musician, entertainer, actor. He said he was 66, so he's like a little bit older. But yeah, I don't know, like I asked him, I was like, are you an absurdist comedian? And he was kind of like, what? And I was like, oh, you do comedy? And he was like, oh, well, I'm also like a musician and all these things. And I was like, oh, okay, you're just like an artist. So yeah. And then also too, like, I realized pretty quick that like it wasn't gonna be like a comedic interview, so I was like, oh, okay, like, okay, interesting. And then he ended up telling me a lot about the entertainment industry, especially in like the 70s, which is kind of the era that I like to play a lot of saxophone music from on my show here. So yeah, he had honestly a lot to share, a lot of like wisdom, a lot of like honest truth about the entertainment industry. And yeah, if you listened to the show earlier today at 1 p.m., Saxophone a la Primini, the interview is basically like the whole interview is basically on there. I think we talked for like 2 hours. Yeah, he drew me like a little self-portrait. Also too, I feel like artists are really good at drawing self-portraits. He drew a really good self-portrait. Yeah, but I guess if you want more context, you can go back and listen to the interview from the 1 p.m. show. It's honestly like kind of hard to explain, and so, but this is only David Liebehart 1.5, so tune in again for the part two, which will be I guess my opinion and then a couple other people's opinions on the whole thing, because I was sort of like conspiring about it, because I don't know, the situation was also a little bit weird, because his like touring agent was like DJing at the show, and I don't know, the vibe was just like so interesting. I was like, how did this whole tour come about? And like, I love aliens and, well, I don't know, like about occult stuff, but I guess it's interesting. Anyways, who wants to hear my mix? Sax La Nuit. I'm Got the new Doja Cat song, Sax Lanui, Paint the Town Red.
Yeah, bitch, I said what I said. I'd rather be famous instead. I let all that get to my head. I don't care, I paint the town red. Bitch, I said what I said. I'd rather be famous instead. I let all that get to my head. I don't care, I paint the town red. I put good dick all in my kidneys. This small gel don't come with no jealousy. My illness don't come with no remedy.
Okay, that's enough, Doja. Just kidding, I can't tell her what to do. But yeah, fun fact, we actually have very similar astrological placements, charts, if you will. So yeah, I strongly identify with Doja Cat. I don't know, actually, if I... No, yeah, I think I do. Well, I don't know. Anyways. Yeah, I don't know if y'all would want to listen to this song tonight. I don't know. It's usually, this is like, this song right now is like how I start the day. It's like the only way I can start the day. I'm like, I have to hear this sample and then start my day. Can't start my day unless I hear, because it's nice, like, kind of like elevator music. So, I don't know if that even makes any sense.
It should cost $1 billion to look this good. Oh yeah. But she make it look easy cause she got it.
Check my technique.
You can find the one when the tempo good.
Wanna touch my technique.
4, 3, 2, fucking busy. That's my technique. That's my technique. Bad bitch, bisou, right then left cheek. Ideas, my dear, that's my technique. All my pretty girls to the floor. Get your money, money, cunty, hunty.
Okay, I'm gonna find something to talk about. The mixing skills aren't going as well as I planned. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a DJ, but I'm not a rapper. No, I don't know. I guess I kind of am a DJ. Like, if you host a radio show, that means you're a DJ, right? Anyways, so for some reason I thought Beyonce would mix well into Machine Girl. I don't know. What's next? Machine Girl hot take. No, I don't really have any hot takes on Machine Girl. But let's see, Beyonce hot take. Y'all ever get those like tarot readings on TikTok and it's like hella accurate and you're just like, what does the world come to? Like, what does this mean? Yeah, I'm like about to become a TikTok tarot reader. That's where I'm at in life. I'm like, might as well do this. British people, when they get home and don't have to do the accent anymore. And it's a meme of Brad Pitt cooking mac and cheese. That doesn't make any sense. I should just read. Okay, I'm on TikTok right now. And okay. I just got one. It's this girl reading tarot, and she's like, "Why would you be stressed today over a long-term goal?" Okay. Plus discovering a mentor plus finding new peace and trusting the journey. Oh. Okay. Call in if you're the new mentor that is coming into my life. I already know I'm not gonna archive the audio for this. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver. You're listening to Saxophone La Nuit. I've kind of shortened it now to Sax La Nuit. And this is the very, very casual David Liebehart part 1.5 episode. Because the actual discourse, I guess, will start next week. I'm still, like, cooking. I'm still finding new information. I'm still web sleuthing. I'm still, you know, gathering intel. So, yeah. You know what it is. I'm going to make, like, a creepy little edit on my laptop and then put my voice through the telephone filter and then talk about it. Which I think will sound way cooler than me just being confused about my thoughts live on the air. But, yeah, I don't know. TikTok, Beyonce, touring Vancouver, world demise. Yeah, that's what's been on my mind. Not that, like, I don't know. Not that, like, world demise, but genuinely, like, sometimes it feels like it. Like, I don't know if y'all have been seeing that, like that map of Canada that's just, like, and it's just, like, all on fire. I'm like, what? I mean, like, I know this happens all the time, but it's just, like, looking, like, the way the map looks is scary because it's, like, all on fire and it's like, wait, is it all on fire? But it's not. I guess it's just, like, smaller fires, but then the fire thing is, like, so big that it just looks like it. Anyways, praying for everyone and anyone who's affected by that. Honestly, I want to become, like, a news weather reporter. Because I want to talk about it more. Like, I want to talk about climate change more. But I feel like it's, like, can be depressing if I just bring it up in random conversation. And then also, too, like, weather is the lamest small talk. And I don't want to be like, oh, smoky out today, as, like, the first thing I say when I talk to someone. But that's, like, what I want to say. Like, I don't know. For some reason, I feel really passionate about the weather. So, yeah, if I could become the weather reporter, I think I would do a good job at that. So if anyone's hiring a weather reporter, I could do it. I could, like, come up with, this is what I would do if I was a weather reporter. This is what I do. You're listening to Sax La Nuit this morning on the CITR 101.9 FM, and I'm here to broadcast the latest weather updates. It's not looking good, y'all, but that's not to say that it's not looking good, but that's to say we should really start thinking about all of the people who are being affected on a larger and larger scale year after year by extreme weather. And yeah, as we all know, and as we've all seen on social media, a lot of the Canadian wilds are on fire right now. The forest fires recurring. I don't know. Yeah, I guess I'd have to do, like, a little bit of research, actually, because I don't know, like, any statistics on yearly forest fires in Canada. But it looks like it's a lot. And yeah, prayers going out to West Kelowna. And yeah, there's also a big hurricane coming. I feel bad because, like, a long time ago, this was like almost a year ago or something, I saw on TikTok that there's going to be like a huge hurricane, and I started like telling all my friends about it, and they were getting genuinely scared, and I was like, oh, sorry, I'm not trying to be like a doomsday person, but genuinely, I love listening to Coast to Coast Radio, and yeah, I guess what I'm trying to say here is Saxophone a la Primitive and Saxophone La Nuit are perhaps taking a new direction, and soon they might be called a Saxophone Weather Report in the Morning and Dystopian Alien Conspiracy Thoughts at Night. So basically, no more saxophone. No. I'll still play. I should play a song right now. I got so messed up with the aux cord not working, and then I couldn't like aux cord my phone in, so I'm kind of just floating freely on air here. I've got like SoundCloud and YouTube open. I'm trying to like fight off the ads and then also maneuver the Spotify app, which I do not use. It's very different than Apple Music. Again, I just think Apple Music is more sleek. That's not to say that I'm like a avid Apple supporter. What's next? Okay. I have the new like Pierce the Veil album on here. It's kind of dramatic, but I don't know. I really like it. Oh, here it is. Okay, I like Spotify because the songs I'm searching for come up really fast. That's cool. I can appreciate that. Yeah, so review for this album. I don't really get the album cover, but honestly, that's what like turned me off from listening from this album, because they came out with their like 2016 album, and that was dope. And then they came out with this, I think recently, maybe 2020. And I just saw the album cover and I was like, this isn't going to aesthetically match with my playlist, so I was just less motivated to listen to it. But now I'm finally getting around to it and it's really good, so yeah. But I take like a few years to listen to new albums unless I really, really, really am like passionate about the band. Because yeah, if you come out with an album cover that I don't fuck with, I'm probably not going to listen to it. I don't know, I feel bad, but I'm really picky about like the music that I listen to now, which sucks, because if there's nothing that, you know, if there's nothing that I'm interested in listening to, then I just don't have any music to listen to, and then I'm like, what else am I gonna do? Honestly, I think my favorite activity is probably listening to music. And speaking of my hobby of listening to music, have y'all heard the album King Sax by Roland Alfonso? No, honestly, I went through that moment where I was playing Roland Alfonso literally like every week for like, how many weeks? Like 4 weeks, 5 weeks. So I could still listen to the album. I'm just not like as obsessed as I can't believe I took up 4 weeks of my radio show. Well, it might not have been. I think it was, though. I just couldn't get myself off that album. It is the greatest album, though, I think that exists. Wonder if I could like mix it into. Okay, here we go. Oh, Roland Alfonso and the Sound Dimension. I like that. Okay, let's mix this into. I don't want to read out this song title. Some of the song titles, I'm like, wait. But this one, Bumpy Skank. I don't know what that means, but I don't like how it sounds. I like Tokyo's theme. Or how about, okay, Sound Beam. That sounds cool. I feel like that would mix well into this. Let's try. Two souls trying to heal each other. That was... You know, I don't have a deck, so I can't really do that. I can't really do intricate mixes. But, okay. Alright. I guess I forgot how much I really love this album. Like, who else plays saxophone like this? I don't know. It's just really, really unique sound, really unique improvisation, I would say, which is why I like this so much. And also, too, like, I like the softer timbre on the saxophone, so... And, you know, also, I like to chill. I like to chillax, and it doesn't get more chill than this, honestly. Just listen to this. Maybe you could be on the beach. Maybe you could be in your garage. Maybe you could be in a parking lot or, like, a back alley sitting on the gravel, chilling. J-chilling. To Soundbeam from Roland Alfonso's album King Sax, released in 1975. Great year. But yeah, I'm probably gonna go. I would love to play all of the songs I had queued up, but I'm gonna have to do that another day because honestly, like, I just feel like I need my laptop to do it. It's really hard to, like, search everything up individually. I could maybe play another song. What else do I have? Steal Away by Larry Willis. No, you know what? I'm gonna save it. Sorry. I keep posting, like, on the gram and on my story and stuff, and I'm like, tune in 1 p.m., 11 p.m. for this, and then I just don't. Or I play an old episode, and I'm like, psych. But then nobody says anything, so I don't think anyone's, like, super hyped for it, which is good. But I don't know. I've gotten, like, a couple messages. It's like, I'm gonna listen. Or... like, oh, I hear a song playing. I'm like, oh yeah, that's like last week's episode. I actually lied when I said to tune in for new content. And now that you're here, you're probably wondering, where's the David Liebehart discourse? Well, I played the interview this afternoon at 1 p.m. on saxophone a la Primitti, and on there you heard the cut, the radio edit interview of me and David Liebehart talking for his show at 648 Kingsway. And then tonight, I guess, is just part 1.5. I'm kind of just talking about it, discussing. I already discussed, though. And then next week, I'm thinking we get part 2, which is some Vancouver, local Vancouver opinions on the show, some outside perspectives on the show, people who don't really know who David Liebehart was, and some of my friends and what they think about the whole show. Because I'll just say again, it was such a weird experience, and that's why I say it's kind of like a conspiracy, because I don't know, he was telling me at one point about his friend that went missing in, like, Nevada, and then he's, like, talking about, like, aliens and stuff, and he's talking about, like, some occult stuff. He was saying some real They Clone Tyrone shit, and I was like, oh damn, I haven't even seen the show, but my brother, like, explained to me the show, and I asked him, have you seen They Clone Tyrone? He obviously hadn't, he's like 66, but I was like, this is sounding a lot like the show. Not that, like, yeah, I don't know, I just feel like David Liebehart is a conspiracy theorist like me, so we could really kind of, you know, resonate with each other. I don't know. But yeah, I like to talk about aliens. I think, what was he saying? He was talking about, like, Omegans and Corindians. And I was like, yeah. So, but anyways, not to, like, it was actually really, okay, so to go back to what I was saying, I'm waving. To go back to what I was saying, it was a really strange experience because I went into it expecting comedy like kind of like stand-up, like absurd comedy. And what I got out of it was hearing an old man talk about his experiences with prejudice in the entertainment industry, which is something that I'm not a stranger to, I feel like. But I guess it's just a very different, like, unconscious bias, like, disconnected type of thing, as opposed to what David experienced, which was very, like, direct and, I don't know, just, like, verbally abusive, like, straight up, which sucks in its own different way. But, yeah, I mean, that was, like, the first kind of, like, thing. And so I was like, okay, this isn't comedy. This is pretty serious. And then the, like, alien conspiracy stuff, I feel like that can be funny if it's being presented as comedy. But I feel like he was presenting it kind of as, like, the serious thing. And then I was like, oh, shit, like, maybe this is, like, well, obviously, like, my opinions, like, are aliens real? I've always been, like, a firm believer that they are among us. I feel like a lot of people have done this, but I brought like a folder into my, like grade four teacher, I think it was, of like all of my proof for alien. I don't even know why I had to convince her so bad, but I was like, that was the research I was doing as a kid before I became obsessed with Stephen Hawking. No, but I did like, I don't know. I was just really obsessed with like space and stuff. And maybe the catalyst for that was maybe like my fear of aliens or just like my curiosity. Honestly, like the moment for me was I watched the, and I'm sure other people have seen this, but there's this like alien video in like 2006 or something about crop circles on YouTube. And in the background, they have that like scary Pink Floyd song playing. And it scared the shite out of me when I watched it. I was like 6 years old. I was like, oh my God, they're saying something through the crop circles. Like, and I don't know, my grandparents live on a farm, so there was a lot of like, I was like scared I was gonna get abducted maybe. But that just like burned into my memory. And then I was like, I gotta, did some research, made a little Duotang folder, brought to my teacher. I was like, you need to hear this. But yeah, I don't know. So anyways, I am a firm believer in all things alien related. So it's not that I wasn't like taking data, but obviously when you talk to other people about this stuff, that's kind of like the evidence is so weird, or like the evidence isn't necessarily sound evidence that you could use to prove aliens' existence. It's just weird stuff that you find on like Coast to Coast or YouTube or online or undisclosed CIA documents from the dark web. No. But yeah, I don't know. I just personally, I just believe it. But yeah, I don't know. David Liebehart was talking about that and it was kind of serious. It wasn't really like, there was no like punchline. There was no like joke. And I was like, okay, I could fuck with this. I could talk about aliens. Like, I could talk seriously about aliens. Like, if someone wants to talk to me about aliens, like, I will have a serious conversation and we can come to some conclusions about what's going on. I will do that. But I feel like not everyone, it's like, you're gonna have to, like, test the waters with a person before you get in deep with the, like, serious alien conversation. But, yeah, that's what I was talking about with David Liebehart. And then also too, like, again, as I said, the prejudice from the entertainment industry, racism from the entertainment industry. And then that's kind of what we talked about the whole time. There's like, oh, he also was that's not all we talked about. He also was talking about literally all of my favorite musicians, composers, entertainers from like his era, I guess. He was saying he knew Andre Crouch, Ella Fitzgerald, gave him like music theory lessons, voice lessons. Who else? I think Doris Day. He said he worked at the Tsavo Museum of Afro-American History, which is so amazing. And he's involved with civil rights, and his dad was involved with the civil rights movement. He was around a lot of people involved with the civil rights movement. So that was really interesting. And honestly, so valuable for me to hear from like an elder, because that's rare information. For real though, it is rare information. Like you don't just get that firsthand experience and history from anyone. So yeah, it was really great to talk to him. So that was like my experience before the show even started. So I was like, okay, this guy's real. Like there's no, like he didn't come in with like any persona, or if he did, I wasn't really like aware of it. He was like a little like eccentric, eclectic, weird. But I feel like I could be like that, especially if I'm going to perform a show. Like I kind of have this like, not character, but I'm like my show person, which is me. It's just like slightly more, I don't know, whoever I am when I'm performing. But then, okay, well, while we're doing this interview, by the way, everything in the background that's going on is just insane. There's like so many people outside, like drinking beers and like talking. There's this like surfer breakcore DJ guy that I interviewed before that was on the tour. And then there was these like just punk rock bands playing before the show. So there's like a lot of chaos, but like rock chaos. So like it was fun. I was like, you know, standing at a truck in a like Black Sabbath Fallout New Vegas themed t-shirt in the dust. But yeah, then I go inside and it's time for David Liebehart to go on. And I knew it was going to be like some sort of music, some sort of comedy, some sort of weird thing, but I didn't think it was going to be as weird as it was. Like it was like disconcerting a little bit. It was like I don't even know how to describe it. I was videoing some of it. It was just to like describe it objectively. It's like David standing there with a mic stand, a projector screen projecting visuals, and then his touring agent Jonah standing there with like a deck, like a little DJ set and like controls or whatever. And David goes up and he's like, all right, let's like start the show. And they play like this song, and all the music was so strange. It was like what you would see on like a stupid Adult Swim episode. Not that I think like adults, well, it was just so, I'm like rubbing my eyes because I'm stressed even just thinking about this. It was just so strange. I was like, this doesn't feel real. This doesn't feel like an organic thing that's happening. It feels like literally like I'm in this weird simulation where I like don't understand what's going on. And I hadn't even like, well, yeah, I'd been smoking weed, but it wasn't even like a weed thing. It wasn't even like a, oh shit, I'm baked as fuck and I don't, like, it was genuinely, I was like, I wish I was like not high for this, because I feel like it would have been even more strange if I hadn't smoked weed. Anyways, it's like David singing these obscure songs to this like weirdly produced like synthesizer music, and he's like singing about like aliens and shit, and the visuals are like, to describe the visuals, I would say it was like dark web demonic alien themed visuals, where there's like these puppets with like fully blacked out eyes singing along, and then like sometimes it would be like David in like a space suit, like with weird like space or like alien like green screen and like a rocket ship, like singing along to the songs. And I was just like, this is, you know, this is a lot. And then there was like pictures, like he had his little like headshot taped up on the wall with like a signature, and it was like formal. He's like wearing his little like old man button up outfit shirt, like, you know, the like button up flannel shirt like tucked into the like slacks kind of outfit that like old men wear. I don't know. But yeah, that was all just going on. And I was just like, something's not adding up here, basically, is what I was thinking. And so then I was like, all right, we got the interview content from David. And now we're going to cross-examine and talk to Jonah, his touring agent, because this is weird. They're on tour. I'm like, maybe is this some, that like me, straight away going to conspiracies, I'm like, David Liebehart was sent by the Illuminati to disclose information about aliens in the strangest, weirdest way possible so that people don't go crazy about it. Honestly, to be honest, like straight up, that was my conspiracy. But that doesn't make any sense, right? Like, so I guess that's the David Liebehart situation. I feel like that's as much as I could really say myself before I just start going like in circles and circles. Like I can't even remember like what my first point was that I was trying to make. I kind of just started talking about it. But I have some other opinions that I'm very excited to share on the show, because I definitely like, I feel like I'll experience something really strange and weird and like disconcerting. And I was kind of just like keep it to myself because I'm like, no, I'm tripping. But lately I've been asking my friends, I'm like, yo, are you tripping? And they're like, yeah, this is like fucked up. And then I'm like, oh shit, like this is weird. And the biggest thing that I've like found with that is definitely like in situations where I feel like there's weird like racial tensions. And there's this weird, like, animosity, like, undertones of, like, animosity towards, like, people of color. And just for me, like, towards Black people. And I guess that's, like, what the whole point of this show, kind of, is, like, just having a space to play all of the Black excellence that's been demonstrated time and time again throughout history in music by these performers who have such negative experiences in the entertainment industry, when in reality, like, they should be treated like the talented artists that they are. I mean, if you have a venue and you're trying to book an artist and it's someone who is extremely talented and you know is going to sell out the place and you know is going to give people this crazy spiritual experience, you know it's going to change their lives, how could you not treat them as if they're of like the highest value to you and your business, right? But I feel like that's not the case for a lot of these really talented performers. They've been treated, yeah, they've been treated really poorly for no reason at all and then been exploited for their talents. But I just wish, you know, there's people that could have just said like, hey, you're so talented, this changed my life. And I'm sure there was, but I don't know, I just wish there was, you know, like, what can I get you, like a glass of water, are you comfortable, thanks for coming type of thing, you know, how are you doing? It's amazing to have you here to perform for us type thing. But I don't know. I feel like David Liebehart is a talented artist and eager to share his art. And it's just sad to hear about all the negative experiences that he had to go through, because I feel like it's rare. I will say this, I feel like it's rare to find an artist who sticks to their art because they're passionate about it for such a long time. Because even me, I'm passionate about art. I've always been an artist. I've always been into music and such. But it's hard to keep going when, like, you're not getting any positive feedback at all. And for me, I've kind of just been like, the last 2 years, just been like, oh, it sucks to do this. Like, I wake up and I'm like, okay, I want to play some music, but like, it just sucks because I'm literally just playing to myself. And I don't know, there's people that'll listen and they're like, you're so talented, this is great. But it's hard to keep playing music every day when the only person who's really appreciating you is yourself. And I'm not saying, I don't know, it's just like the more you go getting like negative, not even just like negative constructive criticism, because constructive criticism is great and it makes me want to do more. Like if someone's like, oh, I noticed this and this, then I feel like that's motivating. But if people are just being like straight up rude to you for reasons separate from your art, it's just hard to keep creating art because you feel so underappreciated that it's like, okay, well, I'm just doing this for myself. And while I love to make art for myself, you just get into your head. I feel like a lot of artists are perfectionists and you just kind of get in your head and it's like, well, is this even like worth my time? Like, is this even like, I guess this is also too, once you're in the entertainment industry, it becomes less of a thing for yourself and it becomes more of a like, I put so much time into creating this and I think people will really enjoy this and I think people, this could really like change people's, you know, this could really influence a person's like experience, like positive experience in the world, perhaps momentarily or like in the future. But I don't know, I just feel like it's hard to keep presenting your art to the industry and then just having people be like, okay, I'll use that, and you suck, by the way, and I don't even care if you're like struggling, but we're gonna use this. Or to see people like use the things that you do for their own benefit, especially if it's something that's like culturally important to you and something that you've experienced personally, and then someone like take that experience and to like replicate it even though they've never had that experience, and then take pride in that and then not even care about your experience when you try and like give your constructive criticism, or I don't know. Now I'm just kind of like talking about my own thoughts and feelings on my experience. But I guess where I'll leave the show off today is that I honestly wasn't super surprised when I met with David and the conversation went drastically different than I thought it would be. Like instantly I was like, okay, David's an artist that is passionate about his art and that has experienced a lot of racism in the industry, but he's here to keep sharing his art, so I like could really appreciate that. But then there's the whole conspiracy thing, because I don't know, honestly, like he said he is like a gospel musician and some of his stuff just seems like it's like maybe he wrote this like gospel song that he thought would be a gospel song, then it was produced into something weird and that was a joke, and then he's like in a contract so he has to put, but I don't know. I'm gonna listen back on this and be like, what? But yeah, those are my uncut thoughts on the interview with David Liebehart. If you tuned in, you heard it here first. This audio will not be available, but I'll write up a little description. And yeah, tune in next week for more David Liebehart. Perhaps the actual conspiracy, because I will have other thoughts and opinions. But yeah, You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM. We are broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver. That is UBC campus. And